Hi, everyone. The Business Ethics Leadership Alliance has questions and we have answers. I'm your host, Bill Coffin. Welcome to another Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. One of the best benefits of being a member of the Business Ethics Leadership Alliance, or Bella, is that if you have any questions at all about ethics and compliance, you can submit them to Bella's concierge service, which will connect you with one of our internal experts who will provide an answer and or direct you to a helpful resource for more information. Sometimes these requests are specific to a particular company's needs, but most of them speak to broad challenges facing Bella members in general, and by extension, the wider ethics and compliance profession. That's why we're using this show to thematically respond to high-level questions from the Bella community. And joining us once again to answer those questions is Bella Chair Erica Salmon Byrne. Erica, thanks so much for returning to the show. It's wonderful to have you once more.
Oh, Bill, I'm delighted to be here. And I'm especially delighted because my chance to come back means that people are still asking questions.
They are. We're getting a ton of them, actually. And this next one is another compliance question. How do I make the case for appointing a chief compliance officer?
Yeah. So, Bill, a couple of pieces in this particular question. I am assuming that the question is coming from a company that has people who are working on compliance, but they don't have someone with that chief title, right? They don't have somebody who is at that level where they're carrying that CCO nomenclature. And so I want to bifurcate my answer into two buckets. The first is benchmarking. So part of making the case is looking at other organizations in your space, your industry, your revenue, your headcount, your global footprint, whatever your space means to you, and seeing the extent to which they have someone who carries that chief compliance officer or chief ethics and compliance officer or chief integrity officer, whatever the title is, right? Some indication that there is someone who has a high level senior title relevant that is related to this particular set of responsibilities. And we've got lots of data on that in the sphere, depending on what industry you're in, what sector you're in, the trend will vary, the extent to which we see people with that chief title. So the benchmarking piece is piece number one from a case perspective. The second bucket I want to talk about is a little bit more of the kind of philosophical, why should I have a chief compliance officer in the first place bucket? Because when you can answer those questions, then you can make both the philosophical argument and the benchmarking argument to have this kind of a role. And it really goes to the point of a compliance program in the first place. So here at Ethisphere, we are fond of saying that org charts send messages, that your organizational chart sends a message to your employees of the things that are important to you. And you probably have a head of internal audit or a chief audit officer. You probably have a head of human resources or a chief HR officer or a chief people officer. You probably have a chief technology officer. Maybe you have a chief product officer. All of those roles are indications to your employees of the things that matter to the business. And if you have all of these other chiefs, people with senior titles that are responsible for these particular functions, and you don't have somebody with that title who's working on business integrity and making sure that employees have the tools necessary to do their jobs in the way the company needs them to, then you are telling companies something, or telling employees rather, something subtly about what matters to the business. And so that would be sort of one of the philosophical questions that I would ask the person who asked this question. What message are you sending internally and externally if you don't have someone who is designated as at a senior level that is responsible for business integrity? Now, a lot of companies have that person who serves also as the general counsel. And you and I, Bill, have talked about the dangers of dual hatting, because at the end of the day, being the chief compliance officer and being the general counsel, those are both full-time jobs. And if somebody is wearing both hats, then that means they're doing neither job with all of their time and attention. And they may have people who are designated to be doing both of those jobs or taking on pieces of those jobs that are junior to them. But again, that sends a message about how the company thinks about this particular role. So it's part of the reason why I'm heartened to see that we now are seeing about 40% of compliance officers reporting outside of legal into, you know, either directly into the CEO or into a chief operating officer or chief administrative officer, somewhere along those lines. And I think that's reflective of an increasing understanding that the whole purpose of the three lines of defense, where the employees are the first line, compliance and other control functions are the second line, and audit is the third line, you know, that it is important to make sure that you are devoting the right amount of time, energy, attention, budget, and seniority to that compliance role and designating the title appropriately.
Well, Erica, thank you so much for such a great answer to such an insightful question. So I know this is a really important topic. It's easy to kind of forget that not every company has a CCO, and there are a lot of folks who are trying to make that case. So I was really heartened to see this question arise. And again, thank you for giving it your time and your intellect.
Absolutely, Bill. 100% my pleasure. It's a really good question, you know, and for those of you out there listening in who are working to make this case, we have the data that can help you. So please don't hesitate to reach out. It is something that we take very seriously, you know, sort of our obligation to try to continue to enhance and elevate the profession. And it is something that we are more than happy to support you on. So hope to hear from anybody out there who listened to this episode and said, I want to talk a little bit more about this one and get some more information. You know, we are at the ready to assist you in whatever way we can. And to all those Bella members out there, this is one of my favorite things I get to do. So please keep the questions coming, okay? And I promise you that Bill and I will come back and give you some more answers.
To learn more about Bella, please visit bella.ethisphere.com to request guest access to the Bella Member Resource Hub and to speak with a Bella Engagement Director. And if you have a question that you would like answered on Bella Asks, be sure to use the Bella Concierge service and we'll get to your question just as soon as we can. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been a special Bella Asks episode of the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business.